A reading from the Epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13.
Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell.
Put things in order.
Listen to my appeal.
Agree with one another.
Live in peace.
And the God of love and peace will be with you.
Greet one another with a holy kiss.
All the saints greet you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the communion of the Holy Spirit
be with all of you.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, Broadway. Many of you know who I am. But to those that don't, I am Ava Hoyt, a rising 12th grader from the Broadway Youth Group. To those that have known me growing up, you know that I'm typically more of the quiet type and might be a little surprised to see me up here. But over the last few years, I've been able to come out of my shell a bit more, especially thanks to my youth group and youth minister, Emily Davis. It's because of her that I'm up here today, and while a little intimidated, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share my thoughts. When I read Paul's words of advice here, the line, "Live in peace," always sticks out to me. While the English words for the rest of his appeal differ greatly among translations, almost every version that I've read includes that exact phrase. The Greek word written directly translates to be at peace. So clearly, this is something we're meant to have in our lives. Now, that fact is probably obvious to you all. I mean, it's seen countless times in Scripture. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and we even start every worship service with the passing of the peace. And yet, I feel that the concept of peace is often overlooked. What does this term really mean? And better yet, how do we live in it? The dictionary defines peace as a noun meaning freedom from disturbance. And the way I see it, there are different relationships where peace plays a role. The major ones being peace with others, peace with yourself, peace with creation, and peace with God. Now, when you really stop and think about it, is it easy to be free from disturbance in any of those situations? Of course, peace with others means all others, including your enemies. Peace with yourself includes every insecurity and flaw that your mind will find. Peace with creation includes every natural disaster with devastating consequences. And peace with God includes all of these things, with every instance in your life when all you felt was frustration and could only ask, why? Why, God? After this reflection, peace doesn't seem so simple or easy anymore. I think it's safe to say that in general, we as people in this world are not living in peace. When I was first looking at the lectionary for this Sunday and saw these themes of peace and love, my first thought was, well, what could I have to say about that? Aren't these ideas obvious? As much as I'd like for that to be true, it doesn't take long for one to stop and think of the state our country is in and realize that in reality, these concepts are not so obvious to some people. We definitely lack peace amongst each other, as left and right, people are attacked through words, through actions, or through laws, just for things like who they love, how they identify, or the color of their skin. There's so much hatred around people just existing. And then there's talk of protecting the children, Meanwhile, we're up here today wearing orange as a reminder that that is not happening. Kids are still going to school and not ever coming home at an alarming rate. The thing about these various relationships that strive for peace is that they go hand in hand. It is a cycle and can easily turn into an endless one of trouble and unrest. These worsening issues of gun violence, bans on health care, and attacks on the LGBTQ community have detrimental effects on people's state of mind and mental health. When legislators are busy writing laws that prevent you from being who you are while doing nothing to protect you from guns and bullets, it can be hard to remember that your life actually matters. This lack of peace that we're experiencing amongst each other makes it that much difficult to have peace with ourselves. And that doesn't even include the kind of conflicts we make with ourselves just by looking in the bathroom mirror or scrolling through social media, going down an unending path of imperfections and things wrong with us. And all of this leads me to ask, when you can't love your neighbor and you can't love the person in the mirror, how are you supposed to appreciate God's creation and live harmoniously with him? Questions like that can be daunting and rarely have easy answers. But I've come to realize that they're important and at times necessary, even for the simple things. In my Sunday school class this year with my fellow 11th graders, we studied a sticky faith curriculum called Can I Ask That? Hard Questions About God and Faith. These questions include ones such as, can I trust the Bible? Is hell real? And why is it so awkward to talk about Jesus? That touch on many aspects of Christianity. Now, I am certainly not here to discuss any of those, but I do want to say, particularly to my youth group, yes, you can ask that, whatever it may be, and that questions like these can be very beneficial on your own journey of faith, especially when you're trying to navigate it in a world such as ours, where there's so many battles around what it means to follow Jesus, and where it seems many use religion as an excuse for hatred. But all that to say, curiosity and questions are a vital part of understanding, even a seemingly simple concept such as peace. Now, I do know that since I've introduced the question, how do we live in peace, I should probably make an attempt to answer it. The Church of Corinth was certainly not living in peace either, with arguments every which way over leaders and gatherings and food. They definitely were not free of disturbance. In Paul's letters, he calls out their distorted values and reminds them of the gospel and what that story means for Christian life. How Jesus' story challenges our human principles of success and wealth and is ultimately to transform us into recognizing God's principles of humility, generosity, and love. Paul then concludes with a reminder of the three persons of the Trinity and its eternal presence. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Earlier this year, during a Quest session, which is the youth group's Wednesday night activity, we were discussing the Trinity, and this interpretation of it came to me. In relation to humans and our lives, I like to think of the Son, of course, as the flesh, our physical bodies that enable our actions. God represents our thoughts and wisdom that live in our minds. And the Holy Spirit is the breath and life that keeps our bodies and our wisdom alive. These elements of the Trinity are a part of and embrace every single one of us. We as humans are not alone. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have shared their grace and love and communion with us, equipping us with the tools and resources to find this inner and outer peace. But it's up to us to use that breath, wisdom, and flesh in a way that reflects life in God's kingdom. We have responsibilities to achieve this worldly peace. We must seek to love others, not control them. We must seek forgiveness, not revenge. We must appreciate diversity and be respectful and tolerant of other viewpoints or opinions. We must find our inner peace by loving ourselves and knowing our worth. And lastly, we must be peace. We should strive to be nonviolent, non-disturbing presences in each other's lives and share this concept with one another. One of my favorite musicals, Come From Away, has a moment like this that has always stuck with me. The show captures the story of the many flights that were in air during the 9/11 attacks and forced to relocate and land in Gander, Newfoundland. Nearly 7,000 frightened strangers from all over the world had to live as refugees in a remote Canadian town for 5 days. There's one scene that shows a bus of African people who, unable to understand English and having no clue what's going on, are clearly filled with fear. That is, until the bus driver notices a Bible in someone's hands. And while he can't read a word of African text, he knows numbers and can find Philippians 4:6, which begins, "Do not be anxious about anything," and he shows it to his frightened passengers. "Be anxious for nothing," he says. "Be anxious for nothing." And that's how they were able to speak the same language. Complete strangers from different parts of the world, but one still shared a moment of peace with the other. That is embodying this idea. Luckily, I see these moments outside of Broadway musicals too. Though I've pointed out the lack of peace in this society, that is not to say that it doesn't exist at all. As we know, the Trinity is always with us, and I can see it. I see those steps of loving, appreciating, and forgiving others in this congregation, and especially in our youth group. We're definitely not perfect. I mean, we are a group of teenagers, after all. But I'm kind of amazed at this community of youth that I get to be a part of. There is bonding across all ages, all identities, and all personalities. There is respect and acceptance of everyone. There is a strive to help others, both in our community and out. And best of all, we're able to just have fun together. When I'm at youth camp or on choir tour, I live pretty peacefully, and that's because of these people down here. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just all live like that? I know that many of these steps towards peace are not always easy, especially when there are others who do not understand nor wish to participate. But just as Paul challenged the Corinthians, he is challenging us now. For living in peace is not just getting along with one another, but it is an indicator of the Trinity's transformative work. And being that transformed people is how we can truly appreciate God's creation and live harmoniously with Him. We are all equipped to be the peaceful residents of His kingdom, but it's up to us now to do our part. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, and of course, peace be with all of you. Amen.